Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is a John Chukwa Show coming to you live on this Tuesday evening as we get ready for Major League Baseball's All-Star Classic, the Midsummer Classic being played here this evening. So lots of news in the baseball world. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to former Major League closer, All-Star closer, Heath Bell. You can follow Heath on his personal Twitter page, at HeathBell21, and he joins me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Heath, a real pleasure. Thanks for a few minutes on the show tonight, and thanks for jumping on with us here in Atlanta.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys are having a kick-ass year this year.
Well, you know, and I'm going to ask you about that. I mean, you know, when you look at this Braves team, I mean, can you point out any flaws? I mean, are there any real things that stand out to you about this ball club, about, you know, what they've done in this first half, getting the, you know, the first team to 60 wins? Is there anything that jumps out about you negatively about the Braves right now?
You play in Hotlanta? Kind of hot. The weather's not that good. No, but the Braves have been really good because they didn't, like, start off, you know, a wildfire like kind of Cincinnati was tearing it up, or, you know, Tampa. You know, they were winning slowly, and then they just slowly are getting better and better and better. And it's, you know, everybody talks about, like, you know, like Houston was the team to beat last year, and a lot of people aren't talking about Braves for whatever reason, but they kind of might look like the team to beat this year.
You know, Heath, I mean, one of the things I've pointed out is there really doesn't seem to be any kind of flaws. And I had a chance to talk with Brett Boone here recently, and you know, he talked about when you look at this lineup that there's really no holes in this lineup. It doesn't matter what part of the order that you're pitching against, you're always going to have somebody that can do some damage for you.
Well, there's not an easy out. Usually you have guys that, as long as you don't throw it down the middle, you know, you make your pitches, there's an easy out. You know, with Atlanta, there's not really an easy out. Everybody, you know, every good hitter only has, like, two holes in their swing. Holes is in, what I'm talking about is, you know, that whole Ted Williams, you know, the nine strike zones, mm-hmm. you know, up and in, oh, and away. There's usually only two holes you have to throw to. But in those, they can make contact. They maybe not hit power, but they can have contact and get on. So they're just, you know, they're a really, really good team. It's not like, you know, you got some stars, but, you know, you don't have, like, one superstar like Otani or and then some low guys. You got a bunch of guys and a bunch of guys that are established themselves and that are really good and future stars. And, you know, like I said, it's probably one of the teams to beat this year, you know. The only way that they're not going to win is if injuries, you know, they got to stay healthy. I mean, that's the only bug for everybody.
And, you know, it's been interesting because they have had the injury bug. I mean, obviously Max Fried, Kyle Wright, obviously Ian Anderson lost for the season. They've had injuries in their lineup. I think that's the remarkable thing, Heath, is that they have battled through this, and they've gotten contributions out of anybody. I mean, nobody saw Orlando Arcia starting in the All-Star game tonight. I mean, nobody saw that coming.
It's one of those things that it's a team. You know, right. Just because you're not part of the starting eight guys, you know, because nine is the start of the pitcher, but I guess nowadays it's, you know, the DH. So the starting nine, it's you got guys on the bench that are just as capable of playing. They just, you know, there's somebody in front of them. And you got to give, you know, credit to where it's due, the management, coaching staff, to have all those guys to be ready to go when their time comes and to talk to them, say, hey, you're not starting right now, just in case something happens. And if something does happen, he steps right in, and it's not like you miss a beat. So that you got to give your props and tip your hat to the coaching staff for that.
Former All-Star closer Heath Bell joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline. How amazed are you by a guy like Spencer Strider? I mean, you know, he's doing things that only Max Scherzer has done. I mean, 160-plus strikeouts, 80 or fewer hits for only the second time since 1933 when the All-Star game started. I mean, he has been remarkable this year, leading the league in wins, leading the league in strikeouts. How impressed are you by his performance?
It's fun to watch because I feel like the last couple of years, it's been a lot of, you know, guys have really good stuff and there's been a lot of throwers not really hitting their spots. They got nasty stuff. And even if they throw it down the middle, you're not going to hit it because it's really nasty. Where he, I feel like, is a very good pitcher and he's a nasty pitcher. He's not just a thrower. He's not this guy that goes out there and just, hey, I got a wicked slider, a two-seam, you know, fastball or a changeup or whatever it is. And if I throw it right, you'll never hit it. He's like, I'm going to go down and away. I'm going to go up and in. I'm going to go down and in. I'm going to go midway. You know, he does it all. So it's for me as a pitcher, I love watching that. I love watching guys pitch. So it's been fun to, when I get a chance to watch him, if he's happened to be on TV when the game, where if I'm in front of the TV when he's pitching, it's kind of like, ooh. You know, it's kind of like the days when the Braves had Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin. So it's, you know, you watch the pitchers. They were pitchers. So, and, you know, he's labeled one of those pitchers like Max Scherzer and stuff. The great pitchers are pitchers. They're not just throwers.
You know, Heath, I want to ask you something because you're obviously infinitely qualified to answer a question like this. You know, fans get upset when a closer isn't perfect every time. And you know, we had a little bit of a bump in the road with Kenley Jansen last year, and then he goes out and leads the league in saves, and he's got 40-plus saves, and, you know, again, he's leading the Braves' bullpen. You know, Raisel Iglesias this year, you know, he's had a few bumps in the road, but, again, he's getting the job done. You know, how do you kind of tune out the noise when you're a closer and in that high-pressure situation? How do you kind of tune out the noise and just are able to focus on baseball and just not worry about your previous outing or your future outings? Like, how do you maintain that focus?
You know, you just got to go out there one pitch at a time, one batter at a time. It seems cliche, but it really, that's the way you go. And you kind of have a short memory. You don't think, you forget about what happened last night unless, it, you know, if I hung a slider and this guy hit it and I'm pitching the next night, it's the same guy. Well, I'm not going to hang that slider. So you got to remember that. But it's one of those things that fans are going to boo you because they want the best out of you. They want you to go out there and strike everybody out. They want you to go 1-2-3, and you're trying to do that too. But it's one of those things that, you know, we try to do our best. It doesn't always work out that way, but we like saying as long as we get the job done, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of like a starting pitcher. If he can go 6 innings and get a W and get the team a chance to win the game, he did his job. But, you know, he really wants to go out there and pitch 6 shutout innings. But sometimes that happens and your offense doesn't score a run and you kind of feel like, well, I didn't do my job because the team, you know, I didn't have a chance to get a win. So you just have to go out there and, you know, just have a short memory. And also to be a good closer, you got to be a little different. You got to be – your screw's got to be loose a little bit. I mean, all good closers are a little bit different. I mean, everybody always says I think outside the box and stuff, and I guess that's just me and I've never really grown up. Unless my kids, you know, get in trouble, then I have to be a grown up. But Jansen's a great guy, and I think he's a great closer. And as soon as he figured out this pitch clock thing, because he had a little trouble with that, I think he was perfectly fine.
What was it when you looked at your end of year numbers? What was it? Number of saves? Was it save percentage? Were there numbers that you paid attention to, you know, during the course of the year or once your season was over? Was there something that kind of just, okay, if I had 40 saves, I had a good year, or if I was 90% closing percentage? Like, was there something that stood out to you at the end of the year that you kind of pointed to as far as success goes?
Well, I always wanted to win and get to a championship. Never got a chance for that. I was always there for the team. But when I had to actually reflect on my season, my dad told me something that I, you know, the whip, you know, stat, I never really knew until I got to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Still really didn't pay attention. But I was always taught you want to have more innings than hits, or you want to have more strikeouts than innings. That's what my dad told me. And then you want to have more innings than walks and hits combined. So you add up your walks and hits, basically guys getting on base, and have more innings than that, you know, your number higher, and then have more strikeouts per inning. Those were the, like, two main things that I always looked at and said, if I did that, You know, if I pitched 60 innings and gave up 40 hits and 10 walks, that would, you know, and struck out, you know, 61 batters, that I had a good year. You know, it didn't matter what my ERA was, didn't matter how many saves I had. You know, for me, it was trying not to ever blow a save, you know, but just that's kind of like a pitcher going out there and getting 15, 20 wins. So, but that was, you know, I figured if I did those things about keeping my walks down, keeping my hits down, and rack up those innings, that all the, you know, my ERA would be good, my saves would be good, and all that other stuff would take care of itself.
Former Major League All-Star closer Heath Bell joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, when you look at the National League this year, there's been some very disappointing teams. The Phillies, the Mets, the Padres, the Cardinals. I mean, teams that have spent big-time money. I saw a quote from Nolan Arenado where he's thinking that he may even be traded before the end of the year and maybe be traded by the trade deadline. It is interesting that some of these big-money franchises have certainly not lived up to expectations. I mean, it's not that the Braves haven't spent money or the Dodgers, but there are some big-money teams that have not performed very well this year. Is it just simply a lack of chemistry, or, you know, is there something else when you look at some of these high-dollar teams that they just can't come together?
I think it has to do with chemistry. I mean, I'm not in the clubhouses, but I've been a part of big-market teams and small-market teams. It's chemistry. It takes some time to get together, and I don't want to put any blame on anybody, but if I had to put blame on, it's kind of, you got to get, the manager's got to get some, because he's got to make these guys, you know, come together. You got to do something. You know, Joe Maddon was really good in Tampa about bringing guys together, about doing different things and kind of incorporating everybody. But when you bring a big money guy into a team, or two or three, then everybody kind of looks towards him, this and that. Or, you know, if there's an injury and your clubhouse, you know, nucleus, your clubhouse glue is hurt, then who else is going to fill that role or this and that? Maybe you're waiting for him to come back or something, like in Philly when Harper was, you know, not started off the year. So it's just one of those things. Money doesn't win championships. You know, best farm system doesn't win championships, but good baseball teams win championships. And you got to put a good team together. And really, if the owners were really thinking, you go spend money, but you also got to invest in, hey, we're not winning, you know, if we don't win this year, we're going to win next year. You know, you got to, it's not like I'm going to put all these great players together and this year we're going to win it. Like everybody says, this is our year. It's more like it's a 2-3 year process. The Cubs said that when Theo went over there from the Red Sox a couple years ago. He goes, this is like a 4 or 5 year plan. And then the third year, I think it was, or the fourth year, they won a World Series. So you got to put a team together. And I feel like some people, or some owners and some management, it's all like, well, we'll just sign this guy and that guy and that guy. Well, you got to have good team chemistry too, because the dog days of summer, or when things aren't going well, everybody's got to be heading the same direction. If not everybody's heading the same direction, there's your little chink in your armor. And, you know, we all know if you have a little weak spot, those guys in the big leagues, doesn't matter what team you are, doesn't matter if you're Oakland A's or Kansas City Royals right now, they're going to exploit it and they're going to beat you.
You know, and Heath, to your point, do you think that the game has kind of gotten too analytical with some of the decision-making in it?
Oh, yes, yes. There's never – let me put it this way. I always want to talk to analytical guys and say, please give me the stat on when somebody has a birthday, why do they always do well? Why wouldn't they – the birth of a son or a daughter, you know, of a child, why do they always do really well then? You know, analytic that. You know, it's just one of those things you can't. So in baseball, it's a unique sport that you can have a skinny guy, a fat guy, a slow guy, a tall, a short, and you could be great ball players. You know, it's one of those things that you could be different and do really well. You don't have to be the norm like everybody. So I really feel like analytics, if you were a pitcher, and if you're a pitcher and you just had a fastball like Mo did, Rivera, and you spotted and hit your spots and never missed, you could do really well and have a Hall of Fame career. But everybody needs a secondary pitch. And I feel like analytics can be that secondary pitch that helps you out. But if you always just throw curveballs, you know, that second pitch, then teams are going to eventually hit you. Maybe you have some nasty stuff, but you have to have one or two pitches, you know, where I feel like the analytics can help, but can't make the final decision. And I feel like a lot of teams make that's the final decision is analytics and stuff. So it's one of those things, like, you know, Nelson Cruz with San Diego. He got released about a week or two ago, he's hitting better than the other guys, but analytics said since he's not as fast and stuff, then, you know, we got to let him go. Like, what? Doesn't make any sense.
Last question for you, Heath. You know, I think that's one of the things that we love about Brian Snitker is that there is kind of that old school feel to him that, you know, it's not. And again, look, analytics is everywhere in Major League Baseball, but there is something to kind of having that old soul in the dugout and just kind of guiding that ship, you know, calmly through the waters. And I think, you know, again, the lineage of Braves managers from Bobby Cox to now Brian Snitker, I think they've always kind of had that just kind of steady ship, and, you know, they don't get too, you know, hyped up one direction or the other.
Yeah, it's just one of those things is being a professional. Bobby Cox was a great guy. Had a lot of conversations with him because, you know, he was just awesome, and any chance I got to go talk to him, I would. But it was just one of those things that you got to have a little bit of old school with the new school. You know, you can't be old school and say, hey, I don't believe in all this new school stuff. No, believe in it, but it should help. Like Bochy had the perfect example up in Texas. They asked, do you like analytics? And he goes, yeah, we were doing that before we had a name. You know, it was like scouting. He goes, that helps me make my decision, but it doesn't make my decision for me. And I was like, that's the best comment I've ever heard. You know, it's all this information, and then let my little old school, my knowledge, make that decision, but with all this new information. So, and that's where I'm talking. If you can use that analytics as information, but know your baseball knowledge, and then go out there and put it in there and decide who should play or what matchup. Because there's been times where I've seen a manager, you know, like Art Howe once, he put a lefty in to face a lefty. And he goes, for some reason, I just felt like he was going to get a hit. And he did. And you can't, there's no rhyme or reason, but we should have put a righty in, you know, righty-lefty matchup. Mm-hmm. But he just felt like a lefty. So, you know, it's just you got to have that baseball knowledge, and then you take in that new school information, and then you come with the best decision to make. And the Braves are doing that. They're doing that really well. I think they learned, unfortunately, I think they learned years ago with the Upton deal that analytics isn't everything. And they kind of went a little old school with new school. So I think the Braves are doing pretty well right now.
Heath Bell is on Twitter. He is at HeathBell21, former Major League All-Star closer, and joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Heath, really appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. Enjoy the All-Star game tonight, and we certainly look forward to chatting again with you soon.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.